Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today's Monday, March 16th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with J.C. Sherbert. Hope you had a better weekend than the Gamecock baseball team. Just had to throw that out there. Got some thoughts about that here in a second. But hope you're doing well here on a Monday. It's going to be a nice week around the Chief Sports Network. Now, today, it's probably going to be full of gnashing of teeth and venting and analysis and all the stuff that happens on a Monday after your favorite sports team lays an egg or has a tough weekend. The morning show coming up, Whittle on All Things, John Whittle and Jamie Bradford. I can't think of two better people to do kind of the aftermath of what happened in Gainesville and kind of reset to where everything is right now in baseball. It's Meatloaf Monday. Phil and I will be along with the show, probably more of that. Also going to get into some football coordinator press conferences today, Kendall Briles. It'll be good to hear from him. Really, for probably the third time since he's been here, and then Clayton White to get an update on the offense and defense. They've only practiced three times, by the way, and they've been on spring break just in case, you know, there's some confusion out there. Somebody sent me an email the other day, said, I hadn't heard anything about spring practice. What's going on? I'm like, well, they've been on spring break, and so there hasn't been any action, right? Anything to report? I did pick up some tidbits here and there. If you're in the newsletter, I talked to some of my friends that are insiders out at Texas, and they told me a little bit about Christian Clark, the running back. They're real high on him. I mean, they just kind of, for lack of a better term, you know, the depth chart got very interesting there right after he had a breakout game, and that's kind of how a lot of players use the portal, especially at the one ball positions, or the I call them the only one ball positions, like running back, you want carries, and quarterback, obviously, you want to play. You know, some schools do use two running back formations and all, but a lot of one back these days. So, you know, it was a playing time thing. Not that he's not good, but when you get Relic Brown from Arizona State and Hollywood Smothers, and you got Derek Cooper coming in. Yeah, I mean, C.J. Baxter and some of those other guys left too. So that's looks like they just had a complete overhaul of the running back room. But they didn't want him to leave. I mean, they thought, you know, he could still be a backup. You always have injuries at that spot. But he did, and the Gamecocks have him. So keep an eye on that guy moving forward. But not much else. You know, what I'm curious to hear today, because you may be like, well, there hasn't been anything going on. Why are the coordinators talking? Well, they can kind of go back to the first couple of days, and Kendall Briles is a new coach and all that good stuff. Going to get into football here in a second because the Gamecocks got a commitment over the weekend that I really like. The more I dig into it, the more I like him. Baseball, like I said, swept at Florida. The first two games were just unbelievable. The futility at the plate. We've been harping on this. Bradford's been harping on it. Everybody's been harping on it. Shoot, I don't think I've ever seen a game. I probably have in baseball. You know, baseball's just weird. But Carolina, no hit, Florida. No hit. Zero hits for the Gators until one out in the ninth. And then they got out of that. And then the Gators won it in the 10th on a sacrifice fly. Then the next day, I don't think they gave up Ant Phillips didn't give up an earned run. Great start for him. Great start for Josh Gunther, pitched his butt off. And Valentin and Stone also did the first night. Now, they brought those two back on Sunday, and that was a different story. But Ant Phillips pitched very well. The other pitchers, Russell and Lean, they did all they could from a pitching standpoint. They just didn't score any runs. So then there's a slew of lineup changes on Sunday. Juhas goes yard and ties it up, so you got some momentum, and immediately, I mean, the pitching just wasn't there. It just wasn't there. And, you know, look, there's going to be some talk about, well, they were sick, and because there were, and that's true, that's factual. There's some illnesses. But, you know, from what I heard on the broadcast, they were going to bring Alex Philpott back, or possibly thinking about him starting. I mean, the guy threw 25 pitches against the Citadel with mixed results. So I don't know. I think they literally, I think they need to do, yeah, I'll let Jamie talk about it. I think they're going to have to do something with Riley Goodman and get another starter, you know, choose somebody. And hopefully that is Philpott. He's got really good stuff. Is he ready? Who knows? Hopefully he will be. Goodman probably is going to need to go to a midweek type of thing. His confidence just isn't there. But the bigger problem is they can't score runs. And look, you go down to Florida, if Carolina was hitting the ball really well, and you go down to Florida and what happened, you know, then you look at it and you go, well, it may take them a little bit to adjust to SEC pitching, right? Because a lot of these guys didn't play in the SEC. And that's plausible, man. Definitely plausible. But they hadn't hit the ball against the, you know, little sisters of the poor. I mean, and they were just completely overwhelmed. And now Florida's got a bunch of flamethrowers. But it's just a wasted pitching performance. I mean, there's really not a lot of scenarios where Carolina, with even halfway decent hitting approach, hitting, whatever you want to call it, shouldn't have at least won one of the first two games. I mean, that's just – it was a historic kind of no-hitter type deal. I mean, you know, you go in there and you – in the first SEC game and you hold the Gators without a hit through 8 2/3 innings, you expect to win. But the futility was amazing. I mean, it was just amazing. Everything from a player, when they dropped a pop fly, not running it out, and he should have been on second or third, and he just, you know, to timely, stupid strike. I mean, it's just not working, okay? That's the bottom line. 78 games, it's not working. It's not working. Now, baseball does make a fool of us sometimes because it is a funny game. And the minute all hope is lost, you turn it around. There's no signs. Like, don't think I'm being a Pollyanna here. I'm hesitant to just, you know, go off like completely because I think frustrated like everybody else and kind of get emotional about it, quite frankly, because it's unacceptable for this program to be like it is. Because it sometimes, you know, it'll make a fool out of you. I'd rather not be as harsh and, you know, not be a fool because that's what happens, right, in baseball. But I'll just spit facts. Well, Paul Maneri has been here 78 games, 0-13 in game 3 of series against Power 5 opponents, or Power 4 opponents, Power Conference opponents, 0-13. Most of those have not been competitive. The average score going into yesterday was 9-3. Loss and very few close losses in those. They've been run ruled, I think, 3 or 4 times. And that's the SEC and Clemson because those are the teams they play with 3-game sets on the weekend. So that's, I mean, Ray Tanner's philosophy was in baseball because I know a lot of people are upset about the coaching situations. And Ray Tanner hired these people. So, I mean, the criticism's valid. But talking about Ray Tanner baseball, which is a different story, you know, don't get swept on Sundays. You know, they were money on Sundays. You know, even when they lost the first two games, they'd come back on Sunday and win. This team isn't even close to any of those teams as far as desire, you know, coaching, whatever you want to call it. You know, name your category. However, you know, I think that the blueprint for building a successful baseball program at South Carolina is in place. And there's more to that, too. So 0-13 there. I think 7-33 or 34 is now the record against power conference teams. I'll check that because it's similar to Lamont Paris since he got on his heater. So I want to make sure I do the math right. So 6-25, and then you're 1-5 this year. It's 7-30. Okay. So 7-30 against power. Oh no, I'm sorry. Six. I'm sorry. 7-34. How could I forget last year's losses to Clemson and North Carolina? 7-34. That's a terrible baseball record against power conference opponents. The SEC record is now a 6-28 mark. They've won one series. This is the worst the program's been in my lifetime, factually. I was born in late 1976. It's 50 years. So it has cratered, period. Now, could it go up from here? You never rule it out in this sport, but I just don't see it. These constant lineup changes aren't working. Nobody can seem to get going at the plate. The approach is swing, swing, swing. They draw very few walks. They don't get on base. It's money ball, get on base. And when you kind of look at teams play Carolina, they look really, really good. And then they'll go play somebody else and not so much, like the Gators against High Point. And I granted, Florida's probably a little more locked in and fired up for South Carolina than maybe the other ones. Certainly on Sunday with the bat throwing, that was interesting. So what needs to be done? I think we all are probably in agreement with it that this hire has just not worked out. The game, you think it's crazy? The game's maybe changed a lot in 3 years when Pulmonary was out, but apparently it has. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. Gamecocks 12-9, 0-3. They've got a game against Charlotte. That game's been moved up to 4 p.m. on Tuesday because of cold weather in Columbia. So another chance to take a. I mean, maybe if you get a midweek loss now, and people are gonna. I doubt there's gonna be anybody there anyway. And that's the other part of it too, factually. Not knowing, not emotionally. Even in kind of lean years under Kingston and Holbrook, the park was relatively full. The Gamecock baseball fan base, because every sport has its own, like, there's the general Gamecock fan base, and everybody loves football. And then there's the diehards for each sport. And there's a lot of baseball folks. I mean, it's a championship level program. You know, they're not hard, they're not easy to shake because, you know, it used to be back in the 2000s when Tanner had it rolling, the 2010s. You go to a basketball game, things would go bad, and you can kind of feel it, right? Oh man, the crowd now kind of down. Football, same way. Momentum, that kind of thing. The baseball crowd, you can be down 8-0 in the second inning. They're still locked in. Same thing with the women's basketball crowd these days. Winning kind of does that to subsets of your fan base. And they're hard, you know, even in the bad years, they're hard to get out. You know, there's get out of the ballpark, you know. They have abandoned ship. I've talked to several people that I'm not going back. This is ridiculous. So the folks that really know the sport, that's their thing in Gamecock land, the fans, the supporters, you know, the people that don't seem to matter in college sports anymore to a lot of folks. Well, you matter to me, and you should matter. They've just abandoned ship. I mean, that place is a ghost town right now. And I don't blame them. Yeah, I'm not. You know, it's not a catch 22 where there's a new coach and you got to give him time because the decision was made not to do. I mean, look, go look at the recruiting in state and how many players are in state that are good that are going to like Arkansas, LSU, North Carolina, Wake Forest. I mean, Clemson's got a couple. South Carolina's off the radar. I mean, I think they have one. You know, that's what this program was built on. And it's okay. You want to say, okay, well, it's time to win now. Let's go get a team that can win now. Yeah. And then I'll factually say again, South Carolina's seventh in the country in operational expense for basketball. I mean, sorry, for baseball. Problems in baseball are fundamentally different than the problems in basketball as they were different in football. Football, I don't think he had a spending problem. I think the convergence of a disaster of a plan on offense this year with your best player struggling to grasp. It was just a bad plan. You see it around the country too. Along with every team on the schedule being up, especially when you played them, they just weren't good enough. You just had some things that prevented you from winning. Clemson game, that one shouldn't have happened. The rest of them, disappointing, bad. You didn't have a chance to win doing what you were doing. But in a couple of games, but if you fix that, better days probably are ahead, and South Carolina was still competitive in games, very few blowouts. So, that was one thing. Basketball, if you want to take the resources argument, that's fine. I still contend it should have been better. You don't expect bottom of the SEC, right? Again, man, this team got worse. But men's basketball at South Carolina hasn't always been funded, properly or promoted properly or whatever. There's other issues with that program that you can say, all right, let's commit to fixing those things, not make a coaching change. And, then it's up to the coach to go put a roster together. That remains to be seen. But let's give him, as I've said often, the job of an AD is to give your coaches every resource that you possibly can to have a successful team, and then fire him if it doesn't work. Now, could an argument have been made to make a firing this year? Yeah, because at some point, losing like that outweighs everything else. But the decision was not made, right? There's a world where, I mean, even if I disagree with the decision, even if I thought, there aren't that many great coaching jobs open in college basketball this year. Some say it's a weak candidate field, though, and that was a reason. So I don't know. Go shoot your shot. Maybe you land somebody that you shouldn't have, or that you wouldn't have in a normal year, because there's a lot of money that these jobs pay in the SEC. But there's a world that's an argument to be made. But the thing is, you can debate it, right? You can debate it. I'm not, whatever decision was made there with basketball, that can be debated. I may disagree, but there's an intellectual argument to be made on both sides. Baseball, there's no excuse. It's either one of two things. It's either players, like you just went and spent poorly, which happens, unfortunately, which is surprising because the same thing that's happened with Lamont Paris the last 2 years happened with Paul Maneri this past offseason. Let's give him more resources. I know what happened there. And I don't care. People can go say, well, they're really not. There's an NIL. That's not an intellectually honest argument. Is it out the door number one in the SEC? Probably not. Is it top four? I'd be surprised because how they arrived at this number was they got the information. People talk and they figured it out, because it was kind of going into a new era. And a lot of schools didn't spend as much because they had 25 full scholarships, and you don't have to, And Carolina did. They outspent a ton of their peers in baseball. And, and I'm not talking about some guy with a spreadsheet in the DC NCAA-NIL.com. He's guessing and looking at the roster and giving his opinion. He's giving valuations on different players. He does it for football and basketball, I think. And he's got NCAA in his URL, and I don't. It's not that I don't like the guy. I mean, it's interesting, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to take the opinion of a guy in DC or wherever with a spreadsheet that's taking it upon himself to evaluate players and to guess at what their NIL is, and then say that's the number, because it's not. So. They had resources. South Carolina, as you saw, and this is the right number, has the seventh, because this is public information, the seventh highest operating budget for baseball, I think fiscal year 24, 20, 25, it's 25, in the entire country. Now, that's a lot, you know. So this school, this institution cares about that sport. This institution is investing in that sport. This institution should have a winner because everybody else on that list, Clemson's right behind them. You know, Texas is like sixth or fifth. Tennessee was up there. Ole Miss was up there. This institution has no excuse. You know, so what is it? It's either coaching or playing players. And if it's the players, it's on the coaching staff. And I just want to say this, Terry Rooney is the recruiting coordinator. He decided who all to bring in along with Maneri, the other coaches recruit, whatever, you know. And that I'm not saying right, wrong, indifferent, because maybe it's coaching. Maybe it's the approach at the plate. Maybe it's the swing away. I mean, you've got a head coach that's on the record as saying he doesn't like walks. Swing away, be aggressive. Well, maybe you just can't do it that way anymore. You know, and then the constant lineup shifts. Baseball players these days, this generation of got folks, you know, they're the Gen Zers, the Zoomers. You know, they're a little different. You know, it's like, you know, they kind of have a lot of them have like an ingrained as athletes ingrained sense of fairness. You know, they know a lot more things because they've been exposed to a lot more things with the internet. You know, they don't have to go get the encyclopedia to learn things. You can't BS them. But they also kind of are all a little more public figure-y than maybe they used to be. And in baseball, you can ask anybody that played the sport. They care. You care where you're batting. Even the pros do, but they're pros. And the constant shifting, and then like the answer after you got shut out for all those innings, and maybe that's right. Maybe it's the right call. And you guys hit the home run. Maybe it looked like a good decision. But, you know, I just don't know that the answer is to keep moving the lineup as dramatically as they are because it's very punitive. And it is. You know, you can tell it's punishing. Well, this guy went 1-for-4, move him down, you know. I mean, Dawson Harmon struggled at the plate Friday night, but then he got a hold of one, and in another world, it would have snuck through. Great at defense, and then he's out for the next two games. Well, he's been struggling, you know. So I just, you know, and I probably halfway agree. I mean, I don't know. It just looks messy. So what will happen? I don't know. We can all discuss it. I know what needs to happen. But you guys tell me. You guys tell me. In better news, the women's basketball team is again in the Big Dance, number one seed, going to in the Sacramento Four region. They get all the way to the Final Four. The other number one opposite them is UConn. Texas and UCLA are on the other side of the bracket. Interesting first and second round this year. Gamecocks will play 1 p.m. on Saturday on ABC, national television. Against the winner of Southern U and Samford. And then if they win, which they should, they play the winner of Clemson and Southern Cal. Southern Cal's preseason top 10. They're a 9 seed. Clemson's an 8. The Gamecocks played them back to back on November 11th and 17th. 65-37 win against the Tigers and a 69-52 win at what used to be the Staples Center. It's the crypto.com arena now out in Los Angeles. That's that battle to see who the real USC is. That's going to come to Greenville next year, by the way. So you win there. Oklahoma and Michigan State are the 4 and 5. And the reason I'm saying this is women's tournament 9 times out of 10 is chalk. The higher seeds advance. So Oklahoma, Michigan State are the 4 and 5. And then Iowa and TCU are the 2 and 3. They'll all go to Sacramento. And then the Final Four this year is in Phoenix, Arizona. So some a West Coast swing for the women's basketball team. It gets started at 1 p.m. Softball swept this weekend. Swept, did sweep, did some sweeping against Boston College. They returned to action at 6 p.m. On Wednesday against the Georgia Southern Eagles. So that's kind of catching you up with all that. But we're going to talk about baseball probably all day today. It seems, but it's just the facts of the situation are very hard to swallow with that proud program that I care about. You know, I love watching Carolina baseball and have been a fan for years. Been a fan for years, and this is the worst it's been in my lifetime, and many of y'all's lifetimes as well. So the Gridiron. Gamecocks get back in action on Wednesday. So that's a longer break than, and I'll get back on the field till Wednesday morning. Today you have the Kendall Briles, Clayton White press conference. Like I talked about, it starts at 12:15 when Phil and I are on the air. So we'll pass along anything that comes from that and talk about it on the show, you know, and then you have Pro Timing Day tomorrow. That's always a good event to get out to. And all that good stuff, and just kind of one last hurrah for a lot of the players, and certainly some guys that could improve their stock. There'll be a ton of scouts there, and then Wednesday they get back on the practice field, and got the coaches' clinic coming up. Mike Gundy, Mike Gundy, come after me. I'm 40. I'm a man. Is going to be one of the coaches that they tend to get guest coaches in. High school coaches come in and all that good stuff. And so Gundy's at this year. Mac Brown's been around as part of that under Beamer. Houston Nutt came in one year. So a lot of coaches you're familiar with. And that's always good. You know, it's always good to have good coaches around because the high school coaches are happy, all that good stuff. Jaden Kelly Murray, a four-star wide receiver from Somerville. And he's not going to play for Somerville High School next year. He's going to play for Oceanside Collegiate in Mount Pleasant. Commits to the Gamecocks. So a first in-state commit of this cycle for 2027. This guy is what I call, number one, he's a high-floor player because, you know, sometimes you'll get a receiver that's good and he ends up being really good, but maybe this is not as productive. Maybe his quarterback isn't that good. Maybe they don't throw the ball that much in their offense, but you know, this guy caught 81 passes for 1,202 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 14 games for the Green Wave as a sophomore in 2024. 33 rushes for 215 and 4 in 2024. So Somerville got him the ball in a lot of different ways, and he's an absolute stud playmaker as a sophomore doing it. Last year, those numbers went down a bit. Somerville did advance in the playoffs, 65 receptions, 957 yards, 14 touchdowns, 16 carries, 98 yards, a punt return for a touchdown in 13 games. He's listed at 5'10", 170 pounds. A rising player nationally, my man Charles Power from Rivals, went and saw him at the Miami Nike camp. Now, Miami Nike camp, something I covered every year. I loved it. The skill talent at the Miami Nike camp annually, maybe it's changed, but maybe it hasn't, is just crazy because it's South Florida. Well, you got speed everywhere. It takes a lot to stand out as a receiver there, and he did. Went all the way down there to compete, competed at a high level, and Charles came away impressed, and he went up and got the ball, did a good job running routes, that kind of thing. And that's kind of what he is, looking at him on film and getting some feedback. He's a polished, productive player. About the size of Shy Smith, and he has some Shy Smith tendencies, but then also, you know, looks a little in the open field and things like that. A little more like maybe like Nitro Tuggle. Nitro's bigger. Nitro's 3 inches taller and right now listed 25 pounds heavier. But the wiggle, you hear that term a lot, wiggle, like, you know, elusiveness, for lack of a better term. How does he compare to Shy? And this is one of the things through the years that I've really dug into about slot receivers in general, because this guy's a slot. The guys, and this is why I was so high on Brian Rowe, and why, Brian, we probably haven't heard the last from Brian Rowe. Speaking of the West Coast, out at UCLA, he hit the portal. But Jaden Kelly Murray can go up and get it, right? He times the ball skills. He's got really good ball skills, good hands, and in traffic as for a 5'10 guy, he's really good. You know, could win one-on-ones off the line of scrimmage, obviously. And then when you get him in the open field, he's kind of a long strider. I don't know what his 40 time is. And I don't care, you know, because the route running, the ball skills, the acceleration in the open field makes up for it with me, even if he's not a 4.3 guy. And then, you know, just the way he plays the position is advanced. And obviously, you say, well, that's obvious, JC. Caught 81 passes as a sophomore. That's not easy to do on a football field, especially at Somerville, one of the best programs in the state. You know, just to get on the field there as a sophomore is pretty good. And so, but he'll go to Oceanside, you know, for his senior year. I believe he's the first player from Oceanside since Oceanside's been a thing that Carolina's gotten. I'd have to check on that. But committed to Gamecocks, Illinois was in the mix, Duke was in the mix, other schools were definitely coming. I think Amari Patterson's his name from Bluffton has sort of gotten more attention nationally from out-of-state schools. I wouldn't pay that much attention to it. I think he's really good, but I've seen this movie before where the in-states kind of go one way in South Carolina. Normally that in-state kid's better. Not saying it will be, but normally it is. And but you know, you start thinking about it. Well, they've got that loaded 2025 group that they've kept mostly intact. I don't know if they'll keep, you know, with the transfer portal. You never say never, but most of them are going into their second year. They did lose Roe, but and then you got Sequel Patterson, who's technically a 2027 or technically 2026, but should be a 2027 guy. He's coming in over the summer. He's going to be electric. But you start thinking about, well, these guys that are older or that are getting that 2025 group, you know, maybe some of them are quite good and they end up departing the program by the time this kid plays. So you got to continuously recruit. That's why you do that. But the hands on Kelly Murray, very good. You know, a lot of he's very sticky. Charles said that in his evaluation at the Nike camp. And just really, you know, I think an under-the-radar player, you know, his rankings nationally, Rivals moved him up after the Nike camp into the national top 300. 24/7 Sports has him as an 89. Composite, he's right there at 4 stars. And so, you know, top 10 in the state of South Carolina. So good pickup, you know, and another 4-star prospect in this class. Amari Fountain, cornerback, Jannard Albright, a safety, both from Georgia. They are 4 stars, and their stock is rising as well. So first offensive player in this class, first player from South Carolina. That's always a good thing. You know, just like I mentioned in baseball, football, it's tried and true. Shane Beamer has expanded the geography around here, right, as far as putting the roster together. I think it's a good thing with the portal and everything else. Because the more you recruit nationally with success, some teams don't do it with success, but with success, and then those players that are in those places, when there's another player you're out on, you kind of have an in. I mean, just like Nick Harbor, Gamecocks getting him kind of opened the door a little bit for Dylan Stewart up in D.C. That started with Zabari Sandy up there. I'm not 100% on this, but I do believe, just in general, that Christian Clark and Armando Neves and Seth Smith, the three portal guys they got from Arizona this year, I think that Spencer Rattler, who's from Arizona, very popular player in that area, maybe allowed them to give him a little bit of a look, right? I got three from Phoenix. That's crazy for South Carolina. But guess where Spencer Rattler was from? Phoenix. Also from Phoenix back in the 80s, Mike Hold. Terrell said two quarterbacks from Phoenix, Arizona. But so the expansion geography is fine, but it's always going to be about the in-state talent base. Number one, the in-state talent base is good. Number two, if you're the Gamecocks, it doesn't matter who it is, and it doesn't matter if you lose them eventually. You are going to be, at this point with this program under Shane Beamer, you're going to at least be in the mix, right? In 2027, they've lost some guys. They lost Boogie Bryant. But he's still going to officially visit, right? They're still recruiting him. They flipped some guy, flipped Julian Walker. You know, Josh Dobson's not an in-state player anymore because he's in North Carolina, but he's going to be right there. They may not get him, but they're going to be right there. And so that's what you want to do. Because you can build your numbers, your quality within state, and then go out of state for everybody else, and then hit the portal. So you've got, layers and layers and layers. But if you don't have that in-state base, number one, it's a bad look, and it's something everybody's not used to, because for 20 years, South Carolina has gotten the majority of the top talent from within the state. Not all of it, but the majority of it. And then when you lose one and they end up being good, they're not always good, but when you lose one and they're good, it hurts. I don't know that any of us were all that fired up about Monroe Freeling as a prospect when the Gamecocks lost him, speaking of Oceanside Collegiate, but heck, man, he's on the draft board as top whatever pick at tackle. I saw the other day, a South Carolina player. Now, my understanding with Monroe is his family, he's kind of a move-in, so didn't have a lot of connections and all that. And Gamecocks never got any traction with him. But there's a player that was good that went, I mean, Tyrion Ingram Dawkins that went to Georgia. And you're going to lose some to Georgia, like I always say. But, you know, it's just one of those things you look at that you have to continue to have in Jaden Kelly-Murray in a year where I think it's going to be a little bit more tricky than it was coming off of 9-4. Because you're 4-8, you're going to hear the hot seat talk. That still matters with high school players. And the relationships drive it, really. But, and so for a high school kid, as opposed to a portal kid where I don't care if you just have 1 year, I'll just get in the portal again, or I just have 1 year left, let's do it. You're still kind of making a 4-year decision in many ways. And back to Kelly Murray, they got him kind of on the way up too, because I think, I mean, after watching the film and reading the in-person feedback and getting a better sense of him, you know, there's going to be probably more offers that come in. And so regardless of today's ultra-transient roster-building experience at college football, the by and large, if you know what you're doing and you don't have a coaching change, and it's actually a little better because after, and I say this, and Carolina has flipped a lot of players the last 2 years, but they don't tend to flip away, you know, that kind of thing. You still hold on to your commits with a 70% clip. Now there's been some that have flipped, you know, the kid from Tennessee last year and some others, but, at the end of the day, you hold on to the vast majority of them. So I think it's good to get him in the boat, you know, and because I do think more offers and more interest is definitely coming for him. So a nice pickup, another playmaker for Mike Furry's room, which, you know, I hope, because I'm not at the press conference, I hope somebody asked Kendall Browns about the receivers today. I really do, because I do believe that this is a year, as we get into spring storylines before we wrap up. One thing I'm very curious about is the receivers, because, you know, the first year in 2024 of first year, year one of Lenoris, right? A lot of injuries, some portal guys that were much better than they produced, but were in and out of the lineup. I'm talking about Gage Larvin and Delvon Campbell. You know, the slot position in general has kind of been up and down. And then last year was kind of a disaster, plus they were young. Now, Jaden Sellers, I think because of, you know, my theory about this past year is Lenore Sellers was uncomfortable just about the whole year. His brother being out there, I think, gave him some comfort, right? There's a trust there, I think, that's just natural with brothers that have played together. So I think that helped. But this year, you know, the talent's maturing. There's still some awfully young players like Gidron, Malik Clark, Lex Cyrus didn't play a whole lot. Donovan Murph is still very young. I mentioned Sequel Patterson earlier. And then they went to the portal, Charlie Mullaly, Nitro Tuggle, Jaden Gibson, to get some older guys. But I'm curious to see this year collectively if this group, production-wise, and a lot of it's on the quarterback and the plays and all that, doesn't give Carolina a lot more and really kind of matches the expectations long-term. You know, I don't know. Last year I thought the receivers would be pretty good. You know, I thought Amazio Bennett, obviously, I thought would have a better year. You know, I think we knew Ventrevious Jacobs was going to take a step forward. I thought Jared Brown would have a better year with the older guys, but I thought some younger guys would step up, and they did. But, you know, this year, those younger guys are not freshmen anymore, and they've been here for a while. So it's a different offense. They're going to put a lot of playmakers on the field and put the ball in playmakers' hands and try to run a bunch of plays. So I'm curious to see about that moving forward. As far as defense goes, you know, I'm very curious about the defensive tackles. We had a whole episode on it, kind of how that's working out. Also, edge. If you guys subscribe to the newsletter, InsideTheGamecocks.com, you can go there. It's free. We had an edge roundtable that we talked about. You know, Anthony Addison's name came up a lot in that as far as a returner to keep an eye on. My concerns are going to stay the same. I've said this before. Can you set the edge at the other edge against the run game? Did it bleed, you know, as much as, you know, we thought? Like, no. I thought Brian Thomas Jr., linebacker, I mean, they had some plays. It wasn't like teams just lined up and goes, all right, we're going to run wide and seal it. And it was night and day better than 2023. But Kyle Kennard making those plays. So can Caleb Herring do that? Is Julian Walker capable of doing that against the run? Who are the other guys? You know, I mentioned Jaquavius Dodd as a player that I'm curious to find out about. You know, he's 6'6", 250, just a young pup. His cousin at Clemson developed into an NFL player there. I think he's ahead of the game. I think he's one of the limited players in spring ball, though. I'd have to look at that. But, you know, so I don't know how many reps he's going to get this spring, live reps. But I believe Addison's the healthy health. Addison, Julian Walker is healthy. We all know him pretty well. Drew Collins is healthy. Caleb Herring is healthy. Those are three of those four newcomers in full go as of last update. So Deion Barnes is going to get those guys a lot of reps. But the edge on that end, you know, I'm curious to hear about that. Curious to see about the linebackers progressing. You know, Carolina, Trey Money has been recruiting – I'm sorry, has been coaching the linebackers with Clayton White, and he kind of got a little promotion and is now the linebackers coach. I'm assuming Coach White's still working with him. But, you know, it's just going to be awfully beneficial if Fred Johnson and Justin O, Uncle Ronquo, and Sean Murphy all continue to take steps forward. And Sean Murphy could end up being one of the leaders of this football team. And I'm a little surprised. If you went back last year and asked me, I'd be kind of surprised about that. Not that he didn't have it in him, but he just hadn't shown it so far. But Fred Johnson also, I was told, has become more of a leader on the team. And as Mr. Gamecock, you know, he's so big and fast and good. He and Justin both could have gotten in the portal and had a who's who of offers. And, you know, Fred never even considered, or JR, Fred, he never even considered leaving. So that he's locked in from a lead. You know, it's good to have linebackers as your leader because you think about Debo Williams and Demetrius Knight and how valuable that was. And going back to Sky Moore and TJ Brunson and, you know, folks like that. The linebacker sometimes is the quarterback of your defense. So along with the safety. So looking forward to kind of hearing a little bit about the front from Clayton White today. Don't know if the questions will be asked, but that's it. But the Gamecocks get back on the field. Got another good recruit, a lot of recruiting visits coming up. We're going to get into and all that. This is the second season of Coffee starting today. Thank you all for making this a success. We got 250 episodes, flip the calendar. Because in the podcast, you have to do seasons. And I was like, well, 250 is a nice number. And thank you for letting me take a couple of days off and kind of revamp some things, dig into some things. You know, there's so much basketball and baseball talk now. And you guys pay for the football. I know we talked a little baseball today, but I know that's on a lot of people's mind. But going to be all football from here out. We'll have an episode tomorrow morning. Thank you so much. Don't forget InsideTheGamecocks.com. I do have some news on the website. Looks like May. We're eyeing a May launch. That's a good time and a bad time to launch a website. in this business. We lost the big spur in August, right before football. But it's a good time to kind of, I guess, iron the kinks out, because there will be kinks. Trust me, I've been through this. I've started a website and also moved one from one network to another. There's kinks. There'll be kinks. And you kind of build a base and get ready for football season. You know, May, June, July are slower months in our business. But June, I mean, June now with the recruiting in July, that's more like January used to be. So I say that, but there'll be a lot of recruiting and stuff. But that's kind of what it looks like right now. Looking forward to that happening. But you can sign up for the newsletter and stay updated inside thegamecocks.com. At Gamecock Show on X, at JC Sherbert on X, my personal account. I've been flipped that over to a Gamecock oriented account. Just my name, Sherbert, JC Sherbert. And it always kind of has been, but you know, have a lot more stuff on there. So follow us on X, Facebook, Inside the Gamecocks. That page is growing, and Instagram at Inside the Gamecocks. All right, folks, that's been Coffee with JC Sherbert. First episode of season two in the books. Holla.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this. Even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.